Well, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all this day, on this the Lord's Day. I will not be with you all next Sunday. David will be preaching for me, where my family and I will be on vacation for the week. So keep us in your prayers as we travel. And so David's on call. If there should be an emergency that should arise, please let him know. Also, everybody's invited to a big old birthday bash for Lois coming up very soon on July the 6th. You're pushing 29 now, right? 28? 29. There we go. Also, just wanted to highlight the other announcements there, especially the announcement about the directory. Joan, anything to add with that? Joan will be over here after church with new directories. They're $6. And please make the check payable to Joan. Joan Jones. Easy to remember. Thank you, Joan. Other announcements?
Yes.
No circle Tuesday. Okay. So make that correction. No circle this Tuesday. Well, if there are no further announcements.
Yeah, Curtis.
Yeah, Scott.
The trustees are organizing an outdoor cleaning day. This will be Saturday, July 12th. We're going to be organized. We will have a job-specific list, and we'll have it out on the piano next Sunday. So y'all can sign up. If there's tools or anything that you don't have, we'll provide them. But it's going to be a good day. I hope it doesn't rain. Thank you.
Yes, Mark.
For any of you that do not have a Sunday school class this summer to go to, the Clarence Gilbert class is still meeting every Sunday downstairs, so you're invited.
Thank you all. Well, if there are no further announcements, I invite you to stand as we rise and sing together our opening hymn. It's number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour. 397.
Yeah.
And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the responsive readings, the affirmations of faith. Today will be number 881, the Apostles' Creed, the traditional version. Together, let us confess our faith in this historic confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite our children to join Madeline up front for our children's time.
This thing says low bat, and I don't know if that's referring to me or what, but anyway, well, I'm going to try it and see if it'll not run out on us. So good morning. We're all kind of strung out. Wesley, you want to come around this way a little closer? Because what I have to do requires our all being over here close together. So first off, I'm going to give you something. Sorry. So what is this I'm giving you? Pieces of cloth, yeah, a fabric. Looks like it could be a quilt. So if you take just this little piece by itself, is there a whole lot you can do with it?
Yeah.
What all can we do with it? Well, I don't know that it's going to fly because it's not very stiff, is it? Yeah. Well, you could do that. Is there anything you could do? Like, can you make a dress out of this? From one little piece? For a mouse? You might could make a bedspread in a dollhouse or a little doll bed. But by and large, this is not going to do a whole lot for us, is it? Well, yeah, you could do that, but you need only have one earring. So are all the pieces that you have alike in any way? Not in any way at all? The piece I have is not alike. They're fabric. They're all made from cotton. So there's similarities. They're roughly the same size. Yeah, roughly the same size. But they're different, too. How are they different?
Different patterns
on them. Some of them are even wilder than others. Look at this one. It's quite crazy, isn't it? Well, did you know that people are like that as well? Aren't they? Are all people? Okay. Some people are crazy. Some aren't. Some people are small. Some are short. Some are fat. Some are skinny. Some have dark skin. Some have light skin. Some are bald. Some have big hairs of heads of wild hair. So people are alike in a lot of ways, aren't they?
Yeah, like they all breathe.
They all breathe. They all have to eat. They all have to have water. They all need sleep. But then they're different in a lot of ways. Does that make one group of people better than another group of people? No. Just like one piece of this fabric isn't any better than the other pieces. But I can do more if I put the pieces together. So come lay your pieces side by side, and let's put them together. And the more pieces we have, I'll add the crazy one because that's kind of fitting for me too. Good work. All right. Here, Wesley, come put yours right here. So what happens as it gets bigger? Wherever you want. Here are a couple more we can add to it.
Make a blanket.
Exactly. We could, and if we keep adding more and more, we've almost got a placemat there, right? We can make a placemat. If we keep adding and adding, we might have enough to make a skirt. Then if we keep adding and adding, we'd have enough to make a quilt to cover a bed.
Or we could keep adding curtains.
Curtains or wall hanging. So this is true of people, too, isn't it? If we're just by ourselves and we don't interact with anybody else and we keep to ourselves because those people are different, we don't want to be with them, we're not going to get a whole lot done, are we? But when people join other people to do things for the people in the world, then you get a whole lot more done because your strength comes in joining with somebody else, just like in the quilt. So that's what Jesus wants us to do, to look beyond the differences that we might have among ourselves and people that we know in school or people we see places. Don't look for the differences. Think about the things that we have in common, such as we are all God's children. And Jesus told us to love everyone, right? Love one another. Love your neighbor as what? Do you remember that? Love your neighbor as yourself. So we can't be thinking, oh, I'm better than that person because I've got curly hair or I've got white skin or whatever. We can't think that. We have to think about the fact we're all God's creations and we all love each other. So I want you to repeat after me in the prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, help us to love one another and to look for the good in everyone. Amen. Now, our bread tin this month, we need some help doing that, goes to Pisgah Legal Services. You can do it, Elliot, and Lila, and Cora, and Haley. You want to take your pen? Did you want to help or not, Wesley? No? Okay. The bread tin this month goes to Pisgah Legal Services Domestic Violence Help. And if you want further information about it, there's some pamphlets out in the vestibule, I call it, the narthex, Kitty calls it, or in by the office as well, so information about Pisgah Legal Services.
A couple of points from the Missions Committee. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed last week. We had a special collection for Peace with Justice Sunday, and the total collected was $570, which I think is very impressive and respectable. The other thing I'd like to say is to remind you that two important things happen not this coming week, but the week after. One of those at the end of the week is the 4th of July, and we're all very excited about that. It's America's greatest secular holiday, and it celebrates the Declaration of Independence. We're all very pleased with independence. But the other thing that happens is a testament to the fact that there are still some people in America who are not independent. They are dependent. And next week after next, we have the ladies from Room in the Inn staying with us starting on Sunday night, the 29th of June, and staying through the next Sunday morning. And one of the things that they depend on us and our partners in the Roman Catholic Church for is to be innkeepers, that is, to spend the night here. There's nothing much to it, just spending the night here, somebody staying awake. But we're short of innkeepers this year, and so I'm putting out a plea for those of you who have enough independence to stay at home if you want to forfeit that independence for one night and to come be an innkeeper either Thursday night, the 3rd, or Friday night, the 4th. And I know that's the 4th of July, which is tough. We've had them on Thanksgiving, we've had them on Christmas, we've had them on New Year's Day. They've got to be somewhere, and they don't really get holidays from being homeless. So if you are able to be an innkeeper, and I would say particularly if you are a man, men and women do this work, women do most of it, women hold up very much more than half the sky on the Room in the Inn program, but men are welcome to be innkeepers as well. If that's something you're willing to do, would you say something to Madeline about it? And Thursday and Friday of week after next is when she particularly could use some help. Is that right? Thank you very much.
Before our scripture lessons are read, let us join together in our prayer for illumination as printed on the bottom of the first page of your bulletins. Let us pray together. Well, God, you have the power to make a desert a place of renewal and a cross a sign of redemption. Send your Holy Spirit so that we can hear you and entrust ourselves completely to you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Psalm 86, 1-10. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me. O Lord, for to you I do cry, and all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, you are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who can call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any words like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Hear now the gospel according to St. Matthew. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave to be like the master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing's covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the words that occurred many times, this section that we have from Matthew's Gospel printed in our bulletins this morning, it's kind of like a string of pearls. There's so many different things that Jesus is telling us about here. But one of them that kept popping up as I was reading it this week was the word fear. Fear. What sorts of things do you fear? There are all sorts of strange phobias that people all around the world have developed. So let's do something a little interactive this morning, okay? We'll get everybody awake. I'm going to give you the name of a disorder, a phobia, and you tell me what it is that folks are scared of with it, okay? I don't like bright colors, so one could say that I might have chromophobia, the fear of bright colors. Somnophobia. Anybody? Sleep. It's a fear or dislike of sleep. Paganophobia. Ooh, that's a hard one. I'd never heard of this one. I don't think there are many folks with paganophobia who live in Asheville. It's a fear of beards. Seems very obscure, huh? This one, okay, I'll give you an easier one. Necrophobia. Death, dying. Fear of dying, right. Now, this is the best one that I have ever come across, so pardon me for a minute. Let me make sure I pronounce it correctly. Hexacosiohexacontahexaphobia. Any clue what that was? I was not stuttering. It's the fear of the number 666. Hexacosiohexacontahexaphobia. Hexa is the number 666, just written out in Greek. Anyway, So Jennifer was out walking with our neighbor last week, and they were just walking around the neighborhood at dusk. It's an important thing we're learning in the mountains, that times of the day matter when you do certain activities. And so she and Karen, our neighbor, and Scout, their dog, they're out walking around the neighborhood, and she's, 125 yards from our house. And they're in the backyard, just turning the corner of our neighbor's house down the way a little bit, was a 400-pound black bear. Jennifer obviously was terrified.
I was in the house with the girls, and she hadn't been gone long. Usually they're gone 25, 30 minutes walking, doing several laps around the neighborhood. But she was back after only 5 minutes, and the door slammed, and she's... She says, "Big bear, big bear, big black bear," 40 yards away from her, okay? I mean, like, just right there. She had to run to the house. So I go to the front door, and I look, and sure enough, there it is, all 400 pounds of it, walking around the neighborhood just like a Labrador, you know? So, arctophobia. Jennifer, can you guess what that is? Fear of bears. Well, the interesting thing about a phobia is that it has its basis in rationality, but due to something usually traumatic in nature, it's allowed by our brains to go unchecked and to encroach upon just normal life even. There's all sorts of these disorders from a psychological standpoint, but we don't need to look to psychology to see this. In our Bibles, the word for fear occurs over 50 times. This word occurs in almost every book of the New Testament. And most of the occurrences of the word are in reference to being in an apprehensive state, you know. But there's also another peculiarly Greek meaning to this word, and that is what we would use the word reverence to describe. It's a profound respect for someone or something is also a way that that Greek word phobos gets used. Fear is strong. Fear can be debilitating. Fear can cripple and paralyze both on an individual and corporate level. And I'm not going to tell you this morning that the Bible tells us that we should be totally without fear. That's not what it says. If you read back on there, the Bible doesn't say that. It just doesn't. It doesn't tell us that we should not acknowledge that which makes us fearful. It doesn't tell us we should ignore those things that make us anxious with dread or worry. It doesn't tell us that we should pretend that everything's perfect in some sort of Pollyanna sort of way. Rather, the Bible tells us that our fear is often misplaced and misunderstood. Misplaced and misunderstood. We have the right to fear. We fear much, and we have that right to fear many things. I mean, if we just talk about mainline Protestantism, for instance, we've been in decline for the last 50 years. There continue to be all sorts of new diseases that everybody discovers. There continue to be horrible accidents that happen that rip away our loved ones from us right before our eyes, before many are even able to live to a ripe old age. The economy seems to never be where we want it to be, does it? You never have enough money, right? And health insurance, the cost of it. We could worry. We could be fearful about all sorts of stuff and have every right to. We fear many things, but the Gospels tell us that our fear is misplaced. We fear the wrong thing. We fear the temporal instead of the eternal. We fear those who would take our lives instead of the one who gives us life. We fear that we may be lacking financially in the future instead of being thankful for all that God has entrusted us with right now. We fear those things that bring with them the death of our physical lives while ignoring those things that bring us life spiritually. In short, we fear the wrong things, this gospel lesson tells us. But our gospel lesson doesn't simply end with telling us that we should be fearful of God, does it? Apologies to those preachers now who are standing up in front of congregations getting red in the face, telling you about how you should be very fearful of God, that he's mean. You know, sure, we need to have a profound sense of reverence for God, but why should we fear the one who gives us life itself and all the blessings that go along with it? God, who even cares for the birds, cares even more for you and me. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows, we're told. Do not be afraid. One nice way of summarizing this section, I believe, would be to say that if we're to fear someone or something, we should fear the one who can kill the soul. But we really shouldn't even fear that at all, because why be fearful of the one who gives us everything? I've been sharing a lot of stuff with you all about Francis Asbury lately, but I really want to share something with you, a quote today from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church in general. And Wesley is writing, he was facing a lot of criticism because in the early Methodist movement,
It didn't matter if you were ordained or not. Clergy people were allowed to preach, but also lay folks were allowed to preach. And Wesley faced a lot of criticism for letting folks preach who weren't properly ordained, who hadn't been through all of the procedures and education required for this. But Wesley writes, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God." I want to repeat, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Fear nothing but sin, desire nothing but God. I think that's a great reworking of this gospel lesson that we have before us today. Fear nothing but sin, desire nothing but God. And I think also it might be okay to throw in that it's okay to fear the occasional black bear. Amen. Our hymn is number 2016. It's in the supplement to our hymnal, The Faith We Sing, the little black book, 2016, Glorify Thy Name. Let's stand as we offer our praise. I'll draw your attention to all of the names and situations listed on our prayer list with a few updates. Katie is at home now and out of the hospital, but she's still very tired and still adjusting to the new medication. So please keep her in your prayers this week. And also, if you would remember all of the delegates and the clergy that are at our annual conference, that's our one big meeting up at Junaluska each year when people from all over the conference get together to talk about things and make important decisions. So please keep our bishop, our district superintendents, and all the clergy and lay folks in your prayers this day. I would normally be there, but I'm going to be gone next week, and I wanted to be here with you all today after spending the last 4 days
up there. But please keep them all in your thoughts and prayers, and indeed all of the Methodist churches in our conference. Are there other additions that may not have made it into the prayer list?
Here. People of Iraq.
Sure. The people of Iraq, sure.
Ann.
If you would remember Ann as well. And Joan, may I share? Joan is having thyroid surgery on Tuesday. So please lift her and Gordon up in your prayers, because Gordon's just useless without her, right? I'm just kidding, Gordon. I'm just kidding. We'll lift up Gordon and Joan, Joan especially. Others? Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we give you our thanks and praise for your care for us, for your care for all of creation, for the beauty that surrounds us in the mountains and the wildlife, for the birds of the air, for life itself. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence with us that continues on through the ages to this day and for time perpetual. Lord, we give you thanks for your life-giving spirit. Forgive us for those times, O Lord, when we have let the physical cares of this world and of this life outweigh our spiritual lives. Forgive us for those times, O Lord, when we focused on the temporal at the expense of the eternal. Forgive us, O Lord, for those times when we have failed to act like people of your kingdom and have instead acted like people of earthly kingdoms. For our sins of thought, of word, of deed, for sins of action, but also for sins of inaction. Forgive us, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. We lift up to you, O Lord, all of those this day who need your healing hand in their lives. And we lift up their doctors and nurses and caregivers and all of those who stay by their bedsides. O Lord, you know the needs of not only our community, but those of the entire world. We lift up to you the people of Iraq and all sorts of other areas in the world, O Lord, where violence and war and death is the order of the day. For those places, O Lord, where there is unrest, may you touch it with your peace. For those places in our lives, O Lord, that are in disarray, may you come with your Spirit and gracefully touch us that we might be changed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, most gracious Father, as we lift up to you the deepest concerns of our hearts. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, accept these our gifts, that they might go to spread your love, your peace, and your grace in this world and beyond. We offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's number 522 in our hymnals. Leave it there, 522. Go now in peace, and may the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all, now and always. Amen.